Oh, good morning. I'm Dennis, and you're not? No. Those alumni of Saturday Night Live will remember that line. What do you think is the biggest error that we make in trying to, or in sharing our faith? What's the biggest error that we make? Well, we open it up for more than one. I had one in mind, but that's a good one, obviously. Yes.
I think that if they don't acknowledge it or take it right away, they'll be taking it for a life like that. So
it would take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Those are good. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. What's the matter with you? Don't you know God loves you? Yeah. Well, I would say one of the biggest errors that we make is we don't go. Because in going, we learn. We learn by experience, and then we start leaning on the Lord more. We realize we don't have the resources to change anybody's life. But as Dave so vividly brought out, this book can change people. And we want people to see that. So I like this little saying, perhaps you've heard it. Conviction without compassion leads to condemnation. But compassion without conviction leads to compromise. So we want to be those who present the Word of God the way the Word of God says it is, with compassion. I've learned so much from mistakes that I've made because I've been involved in this. And here's my thing, and I think that you will see this as you continue. I'm like this guy that said, I never want to do this. I never want to reach out. I never want to kind of open myself up to, the criticism or, who do you think you are kind of thing. I never want to do that. But once I start doing it, I never want to stop. And I found that, in Hebrews when it's talking about faith, we can prepare and prepare and prepare, but then we go into battle, and you know what? We're still going to need the Lord. As prepared as we are, we're going to need the Lord. And that's what it says in Hebrews 11, that people were strengthened in the battle. I've come up with things. And I'm not alone in this. I heard a guy say this one time when he was talking with people. And he said something, and he is like, where'd that come from? Because it was so great. Now, it sounds like you're patting yourself on the back, but he said this. He said, I wanted to stand aside like this and say, wow, that was great. Because he knows it didn't come from him. You see, God is working in you as you're allowing God to use you. And you want to do that with compassion and conviction. You're going to meet people that they want nothing to do with it. But I promise you, we found time and time again, if you keep going, you'll find somebody that's ready to talk. But you got to listen, too. There's a great course called Witnessing Without Fear. And this guy learned to get people to tell their story first. Because, let's say Ed's an unbeliever, okay? He's lived a number of years, and he's got a way of dealing with life that worked for him. Now, here we are trying to jam something in there that he has no clue to. If I ask Ed, why do you think we're here? You look like an intelligent person. Why? What's the purpose of life? And then shut up and actually listen. You see that? Actually listen, because a lot of times we're ready. And I've made all the mistakes. So, when I'm saying this, I'm not teaching from up here. I've made all these mistakes. So we're ready to jump in as soon as he takes a breath to say, oh, no, this is the way it is. Now, and that doesn't work. So let him tell everything, okay, that he believes. And it's just normal that people will say, well, what do you think? There's your opportunity to make a presentation of the gospel. Now, in this case, you're really, and it's a good way that the church is doing this. You're just reaching out to your neighbors. You're just doing something where you want your neighbors to have what you have in this church and obviously in the Lord. So it's like a first step, okay? There are people that do this all the time. And, you know, they could teach us and they can help us. But most of those people, I've read a lot of these books on witnessing and and so forth. But most of them, they zero in on the victory. They don't talk about the one who walks away mad at you, you know. But that happens. And you want to remember that Jesus said, they say that I do my works through the power of Satan. What are they going to say about you? You see that? So we're entering into that fellowship of suffering with Jesus. And part of that is rejection. Nobody ever loved people more than Jesus. And people didn't understand it because they were born blind. And we have this wonderful opportunity to help them to take that first step in being born again where they can see, where they can see. And I have to tell you, once we get rolling on this, and again, we have to kind of make ourselves do this. Did you hear about the guy that went fishing in a mud puddle in front of his house? It was more convenient. He didn't really expect to catch anything, you know. So this is a first step in reaching out to your neighbors, okay? I got to tell you this. I was talking to Dave about this. I got thinking about it. There were two of my neighbors that were dying at different times, obviously, and not obviously, but they were. And I don't know about you, but this verse in Proverbs made a big impact on me. This is from Proverbs 24, verse 11. And this is God speaking to everyone who knows the truth. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? God knows what we know. And we may not be, you know, a theological giant or anything like that, but we know life because we know Jesus, all right? And we can share Jesus. And sometimes it's not just our words, it's the sympathy that God puts in our heart, the compassion that he puts in our heart. They tell a story of a man years ago that he got burdened for his neighbor who was a drunkard, and his whole family was falling apart, and this guy prayed for him all night, and he just came to the door, knocked on the guy's door early in the morning. The guy came to the door, and he's trying to share the gospel with him, but he was so broken up, he was weeping and sobbing, and he couldn't get the words out, and finally he just left. But that guy said, that guy's concern broke my heart. He was ready to hear the gospel. Now, we can't fake that. You understand that? Sometimes people can fake compassion. We don't want that kind, right? We want the compassion that we see Jesus had for us, lost and going to hell, and Jesus loved us. And before we ever knew him, he died for us, and he rose again on the third day. So we're holding to that. We're holding that out to people so that they can be born again. And by the way, I think it's so great that this is a church thing, because a lot of people get saved, but they don't get into a church, okay? And so they don't get instructed in further details, further instruction that we all need so that we can keep on walking, we can learn how to feed ourselves, we can learn how to serve God, and we can cheer one another along, you know? We can be there for each other. So, go and understand you're going with God. The Bible says that if you sow when it's a bad day, it's rainy, it might even be a little snow early in the spring. I knew one woman, she had peas in the ground when the plow was taking the snow away from the driveway. If you plant in that inopportune time, you're going to get a harvest maybe later on that you didn't anticipate. One of my neighbors was an alcoholic most of his life. I witnessed to him. His kids used to come over. They thought of me as uncle, I guess. Our family helped raise their kids. The mother was a hard-pressed woman. She loved the Lord, I believe, and she was trying to raise her children without his help, because he was no help, except his big thing was, well, I work every day. Okay, so he did provide money, but then he came home on weekends and disrupted everything. So, you know, we saw this growing up. We saw the devastation of the children and all that. And as he got older, he finally came up against it. The doctor said, look, either stop drinking or die. Take your pick. He decided he wanted to live. And, you know, we'd reached out to him before, and he was always a cursing man. He was angry. Who knows what he went through? I don't know his former life, okay? He served the army in France during World War II. I don't know what he went through. But I want to say this. Jesus is adequate for anyone. Anyone. Okay? And so we began to witness to him, and I invited him to men's things at our church. And he was coming. I could see him start to soften up. Well, the night that he was in the hospital, and he had hepatitis, it was really bad, and he was about to pass away, and the daughters called me and said, we want you to come and talk to Dad. He's in the hospital, and we know that he's dying. We want you to talk to him. So I went, and I go in the hospital room, and there's like six people in there. How am I going to talk to this guy about his soul when there's six people there? This is what I mean about God giving you insight and wisdom when you need it right at that time. You know, you need it, and you need a wisdom beyond yourself. I said, everybody wait right here. I'll be right back. I went out, and I had a bunch of these in the car, Gospel of John. And I came in, and I gave one to each person. I said, okay, you follow along with me as I speak to Joe about what's in this book. And we went through the gospel of salvation. Now he had a tube in. He was conscious, but he definitely was on his way out. And I said, I explained it to him. The old story that we have loved so long, about a Savior that came from glory so that we could be with him forever. He died for us before we ever knew him. He cared for us. He knew all about us. And so I went through the plan of salvation with Joe. And I said, Joe, do you want to ask Christ into your heart? And this is what he did. I'll settle for that. He couldn't speak. He had a tube in his mouth. But you know what? It was a process. See, if I hadn't ever witnessed to anybody, they would be told, first of all, they wouldn't have called me. And it's not me. You understand that. This could have been anybody, okay? It could be you in a similar situation. But they called me, and I had the Gospels of John. And I had the gospel in my heart, and I was able to share it with Joe. Joe used to be a cursing, angry man. And again, I don't know what he went through growing up. We should never look down on anybody. They may have had it much worse than we ever did. There are so many people that have been abused when they were children. And so they have an increased animosity against any kind of authority. Well, God is the ultimate authority, and he has made it so that we could be comfortable in his presence. I like that. The cross makes me comfortable in his presence. Otherwise, I would not be comfortable in his presence. But he died for us, and he rose again. So, you know, the thing about it is, once you get going, you don't care what people say. You just want to be true to the Lord, okay? I was down at Woods Hole. I used to go out with this guy, and he was much more aggressive than I was. One time we knocked on the lady's door, and we were giving out Gospels of John. And she came to the door, and we talked to her a little bit. And she started saying, well, I just got out of the hospital. I had open heart surgery. And he says, tell me something. Do you know if you died today that you'd go? You know, it was just like, you know, I can see the mistakes of others sometimes better than I can see my own mistakes, but that was not the time to be doing that. She was just starting to open up. You see that? Another time we went into a nursing home, they let us go in, and this guy, he had open heart surgery as well. He was in this room alone, and so we started talking to him. He says, yeah, I just had open heart surgery, and he's walking around. He's recovering, the rehab place. So my friend goes, do you know if you died today? You know, maybe not the right time. But here's the thing. As we talked to him more, we said, well, do you know what it means to be born again? Have you ever been born again? And amazingly, he said yes. Because most people say no. They don't have any idea. Amazingly, this guy said yes. He said, well, tell us about it. I was listening to Billy Graham by myself in my home, and he asked if anyone wanted to receive Christ to repeat this prayer with them, however, you know, they did that. And he said, I did that. You did? Wow, that's amazing. And this plays right into the fact that we're doing this as a church. We said, well, what church do you go to? And he said, he said, I don't go to church. It turned out he hadn't even told his wife that he had received Christ as his Savior. I think there's a myriad of people like that. That's why the church is important, see? Because you're being challenged today, not by me, not by Dave, but by the Lord, to carry this message out, okay? And you're going to have success. You're going to have some people who will listen. There are a lot of people that won't listen, but there's a lot of people that will listen. People can get so low they even listen to us. So I want to encourage you to keep on going. Learn the Word of God, read the Gospels, and be prepared.
Thank you.